Father, that the revelation of your word will be brought to us in a greater way, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, look with me to Mark chapter 16. Very familiar scripture. Verse 15, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But notice this. He said, turn it down just a little. It said that these signs will follow the preaching of the gospel. And I want to ask you a question. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Glory to God. It's Jesus. But it's also the life of Jesus exchanging for our old life. The gospel is an exchanged life. He said if you seek to save your old life, you'll lose your new life in Christ. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find your life. If you're willing to give up the old, you can have the new. And when we got saved, how many knows that when you get saved, you have to cooperate with the Holy Ghost? Because he starts changing us. He starts putting his finger on things in your life and saying, you need to change this. You need to change your attitude. You need to quit getting mad. You need to do this. You need to do that. And he starts dealing with us. And when he puts his finger on something, if we respond to that, that's called obedience. And so we obey God. You know, I know when I first got saved, seemed like I was more willing to obey God than it is after you get older in the Lord. It's like you sometimes you say, "Well, I'm okay now," but how many knows it's not? We're on a process where He's changing us from glory to glory to glory, and so to obey God means to be with He said, but it said the gospel is an exchanged life, and He said these signs will follow those that believe. So in other words, these things here are what Christ is going to do through you. It's what He wants to do through each one of us. In other words, it's a sign. And, you know, we shouldn't be satisfied unless all these signs are following us. We shouldn't be satisfied and say, well, I'm a good person. I don't drink or cuss or kill nobody. You know, but there's more to it than that. How many knows He wants His life to live through us, and the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee wants to walk in us and do the same works He did back then. But the thing of it is, we have to be filled with the Holy Ghost and obey the Holy Ghost. The Bible said he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. But there's another scripture I want to look at in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that He said that obey not the gospel. That means that they're not cooperating. Because it said those that know not God and those that obey not the gospel. And so tonight I'm going to be talking about obedience. The last couple of sermons I've preached, the Lord just had me hanging on obedience. There's something about obedience that brings the blessings of God in your life. When you have an obedient heart, he said, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But he said, but if you refuse, he said, you'll be destroyed with a sword. If, he said, if you rebel and refuse, you'll be destroyed by a sword. And but he said, but if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So in other words, God's saying, I want to give you a good life if you'll just be willing. If you'll just be willing and obey, if you'll just obey what I'm trying to show you. Because, see, the problem is sometimes we think we know more than God does. And we try to figure it out our way and try to do it our way, and then it just blows up in our face. But he said, if you be willing and obedient, if you'll just obey what God's telling you to do, if you'll let him do this exchange inside of us, if you'll give him that old bad temper you've got, if you'll give him that old tongue you've got, if you'll let him work through you, he'll change your hearts. You know, I think that we settle for way lower than what's out there for us. You know, God wants us to have his mind. He said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. He wants us to think his thoughts. He wants us to see things in a totally different way. But the thing of it is, unless we let him work through us, see, there's pressures in this world that's coming against us all the time trying to conform you. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Glory to God, that you might know that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. See, but there's pressures that's coming against you all the time. Every whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, there's pressures. And if you take the road of least resistance, you're going to go down the wrong road. If you go down the road with the wind's blowing hard against you this way and you say, I think I'll just go with the wind instead of walking against it, it's going to carry you in a wrong direction. And that's exactly what the devil's doing in this hour. He's causing a lot of God's people to be carried away with the adversity of wind that's blowing against them. But you know what? Those that walk by faith, they're able to walk right into the wind and walk in opposition and go and do the will of God. Because if you're living by faith, you don't have to conform to this world. The Bible says, cast all your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. Because you know what happens a lot of times when cares and problems starts coming into people's lives? It starts conforming you. It starts pushing you and causing you to get in fear and causing you to get in worry. And then you start causing nervousness and all kind of problems in your life and can't sleep at night and ain't got no money to pay your bills, and it's just like all this pressure starts trying to force you to go a certain direction, to do something wrong or cheat or do, you know, anything to go in the wrong direction. But it's the pressures of life try to move you in that way. But the Spirit of God has come to lead us into God. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Glory to God. And so if we let the Spirit of God lead us, he's going to lead us in a pathway that's going to deliver us. When he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, all they had to do was follow him. He was leading them out of something and leading them into something. He was taking them away into the promised land. From Egypt to the promised land. And you know that the same thing's true in our life. He's taking us from the world to the promised land. He's taking us, and you know what the promised land is? It's the life of Jesus. The fullness of the life of Jesus. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. We don't have no idea how wonderful this life is. And we just had a little touch of it. But I want to tell you something. He's before Jesus comes back to this world, you're going to see the power of God in all of his fullness. The life of Jesus is going to come into the church like we've never seen before. Revival is going to break out in this world. At the same time, it's going to be a dark place in this world, but the church is going to shine brighter than it ever shined before, because it's the life of Jesus, glory to God, that's shining out of us. He said that, it said in him was life, and that life was the light of men. His life is the light. Glory to God. The life of Jesus on the inside of us is the light. But he said, but if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. John Calvin said, all knowledge of God is born out of obedience. What now? Oh. He said, John Calvin said, all true knowledge of God is born out of obedience. many knows that the first Adam was disobedient? Look what happened. Because of the disobedience of one man, the whole human race was sold into sin. The curse is in this world today is because of disobedience. And then Jesus come along, because God told Adam, he said, don't eat of that tree. And what they do? They go eat of the tree. And then Jesus, the Bible said, but the last Adam, Jesus, he came and he did the will of the Father. He never sinned one time. He never disobeyed one time. And you know what? He delivered all of us because of his obedience to the Father. It brought deliverance to you and I today. Did you know that your obedience to God can get people delivered? Yes. If you obey God, you can get somebody else delivered. Smith Wigglesworth used to just walk in a room and people would get under conviction because the Spirit of God would be on him so strong that they'd just fall on their knees and say, my God, you convict me. Why? Because he walked in obedience to God. He refused to conform to this world. I mean, he would do some crazy things when he would pray for people. I read one thing one time where he kicked a baby. There was a baby, they brought a baby up there that had something bad wrong with it, and he just kicked the baby off the stage and the baby was instantly healed. Crazy stuff. I mean, he would go up to a funeral and drag somebody out of the casket and command them to live and they'd come back to life again. I mean, he had like 16 people raised from the dead. Why? Because this man chose to be obedient. Obedience to God is the key to deliverance. It's the key. A.A. Allen was a great man of God. He was the one that tutored R.W. Shambaugh. And he was raised up under his ministry. And A.A. Allen had a great deliverance ministry of casting out devils and healing the sick and things like this. And he said one time that he was tired of not having the power of God in his life. And he said he went into his closet and he told his wife, he said, don't let me out of here until I come out with the power of God. And he went in his closet and he started praying and he said, God, why don't I have the power of God? And God showed him seven things in his life and he wrote down seven things on the wall that God was putting his finger on. He said, this is what you need to change. And he wrote those seven things down on the wall and he began to check them off one at a time. He began to take care of it and just marked them off one by one. And when he got the seventh one took care of, miracles started breaking out in his services. Wherever he would go, miracles would start happening. Because, see, the devil comes in through disobedience. Where, you know, many times you might have a great move of God in your life and be God doing great things in your life. And all at once, right in the middle of your greatest time in God, you'll be tempted to do something crazy. And you'll do something and it messes it all up again. Then you got to go start all over again. Why? Because the enemy knows that if he can get you to disobey, he can cause a curse to come in your life and you'll curse your own self. When Balaam was hired by Balak to come and curse the children of Israel, and when he came to curse them, he looked off in the valley and he saw them and he said, there is no enchantment against them, because when he saw them in their places, they were in a place God had put them. Each tribe was in their place. And when he looked at them, he said, there is no enchantment against them. In other words, there's nothing they're doing wrong. I can't curse them. You ain't got to worry about a witch putting a curse on you if you just obey God. And so he said, I can't curse them. And he tried to get him to two or three times. But you know what he ended up doing? He said, I can't curse them, but I can tell you how to curse yourself. He said, y'all go have a sacrifice to your false gods and sacrifice the food to it, and then call the children of Israel to the feast and let them come and let your women lay with their men and your men with their women. And he said, it'll curse. And so that's what happened. And you know what it did? It brought a curse on them. And they were defeated because of it. Because the enemy always looks for that place of disobedience to come in. And see, sometimes obedience is 100% obedience. See, you know, sometimes we think that if I'm 50% obeying God, then that's okay with God. If I'm 50% doing the will of God, if I'm doing things, if I'm tithing halfway, that's God's happy with that. If I'm going to church half the time, God's happy with that. If I just pray every once in a while, God's happy with that. But how many knows that when in the Bible, when God told Naaman to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River, when Elijah came to him and he came to Elijah and he had leprosy, and Elijah said, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And he said, well, ain't they cleaner rivers than this old muddy Jordan? And he said, yes, but he didn't change his mind because he'd done gave him a word of the Lord. And the man went and dipped in the river. And he dipped in there 7 times. But what would have happened if he had only dipped 4 times? See, because he didn't get healed till he went down the 7th time. When he dipped that 7th time, the leprosy instantly was healed. See, when I started thinking about this, I thought, how many times have I probably got to the 7th one and quit? How many times have God told me to do something and I'd halfway do it and I didn't see no miracle because I just halfway did it? But see, when you fully obey God, see, God's wanting us to be radical obedient to Him. See, and if you're going to fast for, if God tells you to fast 3 days, don't fast 2 days. Because you're going to get your blessing when you obey God. Whatever He says to do, when you do it fully, that's when the children of Israel, when they was going around the city of Jericho, He told them to march around those walls 7 times. Each day for 7 days, and on the 7th day, go around it 7 times, march around it 7 times, and then shout and blow a trumpet. And the walls came down. But you know what? They had to fully obey God. They had to do it all every day, just like He said, in and out, until it was. And that 7th time, when they blowed that trumpet, couldn't you just see somebody standing back over there that was wore out from walking around them walls all day long with a trumpet in his hand and thinking, what good's it going to do to blow this trumpet? And what if they decided not to blow it and said, well, we've done enough. We walked around this thing, nothing's happened. But no, He said, blow the trumpet. And He blew the trumpet. When they blew the trumpet, the walls came tumbling down and they shouted. But I thought about if we look back in our life, we could look back and say, and I think that one of the things that when we get to heaven one day, I think God may show us a picture of what our life could have been like. I think He may show us a picture and say, son, this is what you could have did. You could have did all this. This is what I had planned for you to do, but you didn't accomplish it because you didn't fully obey me. And I think that's going to be more punishment for us than anything. Knowing what could have been, what we could have done and didn't do, We see that we could have turned the whole world upside down if we would just obeyed God. R.W. Schambach told of a story one time about a young man. He was preaching in his tent meeting. He was preaching about anointing oil. And he said, call for the sick. Let the sick call for the elders of church and anoint them with oil and the prayer of faith to save the sick. And he was preaching that, and he said, and he come up there and he had this anointing oil, and he told this boy, and he said, I'm going to give y'all some of this oil. And he said, I want y'all to go home and pray for the sick and go around praying for people. He said, God's going to heal them when you do. He said, this one guy, he took off to the hospital. He said, he went to the start of the top floor, started going down, just walking in people's rooms, saying, I come in here to anoint you. And he started praying for people, and people started getting healed. And he's just going from room to room to room. And they called security on him. And they come in there and said, you can't do this in here. And he said, yes, I can. And he just kept on doing it, so they arrested him, put him in jail. And then when he got in jail, he got in there and started preaching the gospel like Brother Scott is talking about a while ago. He started preaching the gospel in jail, and he stayed in there for about 3 days and got half the people saved in there. And then when he got out, the judge let him go free. And then he come back to the tent meeting by the time the tent meeting was out and started telling the story about what all happened. But you know what he done? He was just fully obedient. He went out and he started obeying God. He started praying for the sick, and he just went from one thing to the next thing. And see, when you're obeying God, God's going to back you up. When you're doing what God's wanting you to do, even if you get in a bad place, God's going to have your back. How many knows it's a whole lot better than having a lawyer having your back. I know this one lady, she passed away now, but she was telling a story one time, and she said that she was preaching on the streets, and this police come over there and told her, "You're going to have to shut this stuff up. You're not going to be able to preach in here." And she wouldn't stop. She just kept preaching, and he arrested her, and he carried her before a judge. And she said she made up her mind she wasn't going to say nothing until she got before that judge, and she was going to trust God. And when she got in front of that judge, the judge said, "What do you have to say for yourself?" And she said, "At that day, when you stand before God, this day will be brought back to your attention." And she said, when she said that, he said, "Innocent, let her go." And she went, and he said, she let her go. He let me go. But see, she didn't know what she was going to say until she got there, but the Holy Ghost gave her what to say. And see, but you have to be obedient to say what he tells you to say. Because if you're not, it's real easy to get in fear. You know, if you're not doing the will of God, it actually sets you up for the devil to mess you up. I believe a lot of people are depressed because they're not fully obeying God. I don't think you can really be depressed if you are 100% obeying God. I didn't say you're a Christian, because there's Christians that can be depressed. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe that if you just make up your mind, "God, I'm going after God with all of my heart and all of my mind, and I'm going to obey God, everything He shows me to do, I'm going to do it," I don't think you're going to stay depressed too long. I think God will make a way for you. I think that depression will leave you. Glory to God. It's hard to be depressed when you're in the presence of God. I remember one time, me and Chuck went down to Birmingham. There was a guy that shot himself in the face, tried to kill himself, and they put him in the mental ward at the UAB. And so I rode down there because he worked with the guy. And we got up there, and we walked to this nurse's desk, and we said, "Where's this guy at?" And she said, "Oh, I think he's the one down there at the end of the hall on the left." And so me and Chuck go down there, and we walk in the room, and there's this guy in there, and he's got flakes all over his skin's flaked all up on his face, his arms, real skin's flaking off all over him. But I didn't see no gunshot wound, but I said, "Are you so-and-so?" And he just said, and so I started preaching. I said, "Well, we come to pray for you." And he said, I said, "You want us to pray for you?" He wouldn't ever say nothing. And I kept looking. I didn't see no bullet hole in his face or nothing, you know, but he said he was a person. So we went over there and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And then we said, "Well, I guess we're going to go then," because he wouldn't ever talk to us. And so we walked out and walked back down there to the nurse's desk. And we said, she said, "Who'd you say y'all were looking for?" And we told him. She said, "Oh, that's not the right room you went to down there." I said, "Y'all didn't touch that boy, did you?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, y'all come back here. Y'all going to have to wash." And so she carried us back there and started washing. You know, we had to wash and everything. We could hear the nurses, and they were all laughing out there. And so then they told us where he was at. So we went up. He was in the mental ward. And so we'd go back there in the mental ward, and we'd go in there where that boy's at, start talking to him and pray for him. He accepted Jesus, and he had a hole in his face right there. And he accepted Jesus. And then as soon as we prayed with him, this other lady come walking up, and she said, "I want to be saved too." And we prayed for her, and then this other lady walks up, and she said, "I'm hearing voices. Can y'all pray for me?" And so we said, "Sure." And we started praying for her, and this demon started coming out of her. Started going, "Argh," and she's, you know, and all this stuff. We was casting devil out of her, and all at once I turned around and looked, and I seen this nurse standing out in the hall, and she was going. She was mad, boy, and all at once she said, so we come out there, and she said, "What do y'all think y'all doing in here?" Said, "You're just supposed to be seeing this one boy." Said, "Y'all going to have to leave and get out of here. I'm going to call security on y'all." And so we had to leave. But we left out there, and I'm telling you what, I was so excited. It was an adventure. You know, it's an adventure to do the will of God. When you just go do the will of God, you never know. You know, when you go in some hospital to see somebody, it might turn into a great adventure for you. I mean, even going to the funeral home, you never know when God's going to do something great. I used to be afraid to go to the funeral home because I was afraid God would tell me to pull somebody out of the casket. You know, it's like, I ain't going up there. I'm not going in there because I'm scared he's liable to tell me to. And because I heard this one guy said, I went to this funeral and I tried a resurrection. I thought, I don't think you try that too much. That's not something you try. You either do it or you don't do it. But anyways, being obedient to God. I don't really believe we're being obedient to God if we're not casting all of our care on Him. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is light and my burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said, if your burden is heavy, then you're carrying it. If your yoke is hard, Jesus ain't pulling it. See, that means we're not casting our care on Him. See, because that's what the Lord told me one day. He said that the way you can tell whether or not you're really casting your care on the Lord, He said, is your load heavy? Is it hard? And I said, yeah, I guess it is. And then all at once, because I was getting burdened down with the church. We was raising money to build a church and everything. And I was in my room and I was praying, getting ready for church that night. And as I was praying, I felt like a weight was just pushing me down on the floor because I started thinking, what would I do if I don't get enough money to pay this land off? You know, we'll lose everything. And all at once, this pressure started coming in on me. And when it did, I started praying. I said, Lord, I just cast this care over on you. And I said, this ain't my care. This is your care, Lord, and I'm not going to worry about it. And so I just started casting that care over on the Lord. And when I did, all at once, I started feeling good. I said, this ain't my church. I said, this is your church. I said, I'm not worried about this. And so I just cast that care over on the Lord. And it started feeling so good, I just kept on doing it. And then it was like the devil said, well, you better start worrying about what you're going to preach tonight. And I said, I ain't going to worry about that either. I'm casting that over on the Lord. I'm just going to enjoy myself today. You know, and so I just, the rest of the day, it was almost time to go to church. And I got in the car, started heading to church. And I was driving up the road. And I was just singing and praising God all the way to church. And I mean, I remember feeling so good. Did you know that sometimes when you get the burdens and things of life get off of you, you feel good. It feels right. But you know what? God can take that burden off of you even while the problem's still there. You don't have to wait till the problem gets gone before you can have joy. And so I went all the way to church like that. And when I got to church, I was sitting there and the devil was saying, boy, what you going to preach tonight? And I said, I ain't worried about it. I said, I just cast this care over on the Lord. The Lord's got this thing. I'm not worried about it. And I just kept having peace. And all the way up till they said, okay, we're turning the service to the pastor. And I'm sitting there and all at once I said, maybe I carried this a little too far. Because I don't have nothing to say. And so I got up, and as soon as I did, the Lord said, you just tell them what happened to you today. So I started telling them that, I said, if your burden is heavy, you're carried. If it's hard, you're carried. And when I said that, the Spirit of God just come and swept through that place that night. People told me later on that they got delivered from things in their life. But see, God wants to take away your burdens. He wants to take all your cares from you. He wants to take it away, but we have to be willing to give it to Him. We can't give it to Him and then take it back. We got to give it to Him. Because there's a lot of, this world's got a lot of problems out there right now. There's a lot of cares and there's a lot of things that's trying to get your attention and get your eyes off of God, but don't let it. You know, when He told us to love one another, did you know that's a command? He didn't suggest we love one another. He didn't suggest. He said for us to. He even commanded us to love Him. And did you know you really can't obey God unless you love Him? if you try to love, if you try to obey God without loving God, you get into legalism. And I've met a lot of people like that before. They had all these rules and regulations, but they was mean as a snake. I mean, they was judgmental and hateful, and you know, if you went in their church, if you didn't toe the mark, they'd kick you out. But that's not the love of God. But God wants His love. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart. But He said, with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. He didn't say love God with half your heart, love your neighbor with half your heart. He said love God with all your heart. Now, just think for a second. What if that happens like it did about Naaman when he dipped seven times? If he had only dipped five times. What if we only halfway love God and halfway love people and we think that's good enough and we hadn't really crossed that threshold yet? See, I think there's a threshold that once we cross over this one place, things change dramatically. I think once you cross over this place of obedience to where that you're fully obeying God in every situation, because, see, what happens is you can make up your mind, and you probably had this happen to you. You say, oh, I'm going to love everybody. I made up my mind. I'm going to forgive everybody. I'm going to love everybody. And then the first thing you know, your neighbor comes over and cusses you out, or somebody pulls in front of you and makes you mad and shoots you a bird, and then all kind of stuff happens to you, and you start getting mad, and it's like, why is all this stuff happening to me? Because the devil don't want you to keep your commandment. When you made up your mind you're going to love everybody, you're being tested. You're being tested to see if you're really going to do it. And you know what you got to do? You got to make up your mind when the test's on, I'm not going to fail this test. You know, you got to, it's like when they have that thing on TV, they'll say, for the next 60 seconds, this station is conducting the test. And so when something starts being tested in your life, that's what you got to do. You've got to say, this is a test. For the next 60 seconds, I'm not going to fail this test. I'm going to stay in the love of God. I'm going to keep a right spirit. I'm not going to say nothing smart out my mouth. I'm going to walk in the love of God. And you know what? When you make up your mind like that, it's when you realize something's really a test, most of the time what gets you is when you don't realize it's a test until you've done it over with. You done failed it. You know, but when you know it's a test, it's like, all right, this is a test. The devil thinks he's slipping this in on me. I don't know what he's doing here, and I'm not going to fail this thing. And you know what? You won't. And not only that, but when you love God, Scotty quoted that scripture. It said, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And so, see, when you fully love God and you fully love people, there's something will happen in your life. And I had this happen to me years ago. And when I had went through a bad situation, I'd had appendicitis and went to the hospital and almost died. And I got in a real cold spiritually. And I felt like I was a million miles away from God. And I was praying. And it seemed like I couldn't pray. I didn't want to watch preaching on TV. I didn't want to hear nothing. I was just depressed. And somehow I come across this little book called The God Kind of Love by A.W. Kenyon. And I started reading this book. And when I started reading this book, I said, you know what? I really ain't been doing what's in this book. You see what I'm saying? I wouldn't fully obey it. I read that little book and I said, well, you know, I ain't really been doing what's in this book like he's talking about. I said, I think I'm going to do what's in this book right here. And so the more I read that book, the more excited I got about loving God and loving people. And so I remember it was like an avenue in my heart opened up. It was like all at once as I started setting out to obey this command, it was like my heart expanded. And it was like it felt like I could love people more than I did before. It seemed like I could love God more. And I went to work and I made up my mind that I was going to love everybody I worked with, no matter how mean it was to me. And I just started doing it the whole day. And I remember it was around lunchtime and I got off the scraper and I was getting a drink of water. And when I started getting a drink of water all at once, I become mindful of angels all around me. I never had this happen in my life. But all at once, I could literally feel angels all around me. And I felt the glory of God, and it was so rich and so powerful right there that when it hit me like that, I said, I got to tell somebody about this. I got to tell somebody. And I jumped back on the scraper, and I took off down the road, and I pulled over the first person I seen, jumped off on his dozer. And I said, man, I started telling them what I was experiencing. I started telling them how good God was, and they was looking at me with bug eyes like, what's wrong with you? You know? I got back on there and took off down the road, went to the next one, jumped off, went on his. I mean, it was like I couldn't help it. It was like, how many knows if you see something really good and you can't keep it to yourself, you got to tell somebody. Well, that's what happened to me. And I started doing that the whole day. And I mean, I'm telling you what, I felt like I was walking in the clouds. The whole day long, and this was what was really strange. I never thought an evil thought the whole day. Because, you remember the Bible says, love thinketh no evil. 1 Corinthians 13, love thinketh no evil. And it was like I could see a thought coming. I could see when the evil thought was coming, it's like I go, nope. And it was like I never thought an evil thought. I wouldn't even let a thought go through my mind. And you know the Bible said that we're able to bring every thought in obedience to Christ. And so, I just started doing that, the whole day, and I'm talking about 10 o'clock that night, I still hadn't had an evil thought the whole day. And I still felt like I was floating on clouds. But you know what caused all that to happen was because I fully obeyed the command to love God and to love my neighbor as myself. It expanded my life. It caused me to experience a greater move of God in my life. And see, sometimes you might be right on the verge of something, you know, and then you blow it because you lose your temper, get mad at somebody, cuss somebody out or something, you know, or go down, you know, get depressed and go get drunk or do something crazy, you know, and it messes it up. And you don't know when you're right on the verge of fixing to have a great breakthrough in your life. And as a matter of fact, when things get hard, that's not the time to do bad. That's the time to do good. When things get bad in your life and you're needing some money, that's the time you need to give some away. You say, well, devil, I'll show you. You ain't going to take my last dime. I'm going to give it away. You know, and you just sow a seed something like that. But I'm just saying, when the devil hits you, you hit back. When he came against Jesus, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so when the enemy comes against your life, don't let the pressures push you down a different pathway because he's wanting to push you into disobedience. Because the devil can't curse you, but he can cause you to curse yourself if we disobey God, if we refuse to go the way God's wanting us to go. How many knows that faith is God's will for your life? Did you know that the Lord spoke this to me the other day? The Spirit of Christ is a spirit of obedience. Now think about that. The Spirit of obedience is Christ. Whenever you're walking after the Spirit of Christ, it's a spirit of obedience. When you're walking in disobedience, that's not the Spirit of Christ. See, if you're walking in rebellion against God, that's not the Spirit of Christ. You know, I used to, you know, years ago when I was pastoring and stuff, that, you know, you'd have people that would rise up against you in rebellion and come against you and everything else, and they'd act like they was in the Spirit. Oh, this is the Spirit leading me. No, it wouldn't. It was a spirit of rebellion. And it wouldn't of God. And see, the devil likes to do that in people's lives to get them to go down a wrong pathway. And so when you're obeying God, like Brother Scotty here, I'm sure he's had people come in here that was in rebellion against God and not in his will. And they'll try to take you with them. When somebody's in rebellion, like Korah, he rebelled against Moses. But you know what? There was like 200,000 people died because of Korah that got sucked into that with him. See, and so the devil will use people to try to get you to go off in the wrong direction. Glory to God. But have the spirit of obedience. Because, let me read a scripture to you. Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in the storehouse, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But notice he said, if thou hearken diligently. See, there's a false gospel being preached today. There's a false gospel that tells you that you don't have to obey God to be saved or to be blessed. That Jesus done it all at Calvary, and you don't have to do anything. You, as a matter of fact, there was a guy that was preaching, and he was saying that you could go out and get drunk and go to a party and come home and go to church the next morning, everything's okay. I mean, it was some bad teaching. But there's still the same teachings out there today that says that you can disobey God, but God's going to bless you. That's a lie. That's right out of the pits of hell. Because that's what the devil wants people to believe, that it don't matter what you do, that you're blessed because you're a Christian. But it matters if you're disobeying God, if God's telling you something and you do it, you're going to be blessed. One last story. When I first got saved, I was 18 years old. And at that time, I had long hair. It was hanging halfway down my back, I guess, or down my shoulders, just about. And my preacher didn't say nothing about my hair. He never said, you need to cut your hair or nothing, you know. And so I went to church that day, and when I went in the bathroom, and I was combing my hair, and I looked in the mirror, and it was like all at once God just let me see myself out of different eyes. And it was like I looked like a hippie. I said, man, you look like a hippie. I said, man, I got to get a haircut. And it was like God was dealing with me about cutting my hair. And I couldn't wait to get to the barbershop to get a haircut. And so I went and got a haircut. And as soon as I cut my hair, I mean, I started being blessed every which way. Every time I turn around, I was getting blessed. And this is what was crazy. But did you know for the next 20 years, every time I'd get a haircut, my luck would change? I could be having a bad day. I go get a haircut, things would turn around. I mean, for the next 20 years, and I quit paying attention to it now, but for 20 years, every time I'd get a haircut, I mean, things would be going bad. Things weren't working out for me. Go get a haircut, bam. Why? Because I made up my mind I was going to obey God. And I'm not telling anybody that you got to go cut your hair. And I don't say that you got to have short hair, but I'm just saying that was what the Spirit of God dealt with me about. And the reason was because I was prideful. See, pride, I was prideful, and God knew that. And so he dealt with me about me doing that. And when I obeyed him, that's what happened as a result of it. Brother Hale, that used to come to my church, he told me, he said, when I got saved, he said, I was a real prideful man. He said, I used to go to church, and I'd see my wife in there and said she'd be dancing and stuff in there and said it would embarrass me to death and said I'd just chew her out when I'd get her home and say, don't you go in there doing all that dancing around and stuff and shouting in church. Said I, and he said he'd give her a hard time. And he said finally when he God started dealing with him, and He went to the altar to get saved. He said while he was down praying, he said the Lord spoke to him and said, if I save you, will you crawl on your hands and knees? Will you get down and crawl if I will save you? He said he prayed for a long time. And he said, Lord, you know what I said. I can't do that. And he said he just kept on praying and praying and praying. And he said he couldn't ever get relief. And finally he said, okay, Lord, if you want me to crawl, I'll crawl. And he said he crawled. And he said when he did, he got saved. And so he said, every once in a while, the Lord puts it on me to crawl. He said, and the reason he was telling me this, he said, the Lord told me he wants me to crawl tonight at church. And I said, crawl? He said, yeah, crawl. And he said, I'm going to crawl tonight. I said, well, okay. So church, we got to church that night. And he said, I'm going to obey God. And so we're having a praise and worship, and it's really good. We got several visitors in church that night. I forgot about him saying he's going to crawl. And so right in the middle of service, he gets up, walks up there to the front, and shuts the praise team down and says, okay, y'all hold up right here. He said, I got to crawl. And we got visitors back there, and I'm over there going, oh, gosh, Lord, Brother Hale, go sit down. You know, I didn't think nothing was going to happen. I thought he was just going to crawl. And he said, I got to crawl. And you know how he'd do his thumbs like this? He'd be standing there talking. He was doing his thumbs like this, and he was saying, Lord put it on me to crawl, and he said, I got to crawl. And I'm over there, and I'm thinking, well, just crawl and get it over with. You know, I wouldn't even look. He said, well, here I go. He got down on his knees and started crawling, and I'm standing over here at the front like this, and I'm going, I wouldn't even look. All at once, I started hearing people crying and screaming and everything in the church, and I said, what's going on? And I turned around. When I turned around, he'd done crawled to the back, and he was on his way back, and there was about three men behind him on their knees, and everybody in the house just hit the floor. And when I turned around and looked, there was such a presence of God hit me that it was so strong that tears squirted out of my eyes. I mean, I never had tears. I'm not exaggerating when I say squirt. Tears come out of my eyes this far. It just went like that. And when it did, squirted out of my eyes, and I fell on my face on the ground. And the presence of God was in there. Everybody in the house fell on their face. This was no fake. There wasn't nothing fake about this. This was the genuine. We moved into a dimension of God that night that we'd never moved into before. Because Brother Hale crawled. Because God told him to crawl. And he said one time God put it on him to crawl, and he was in a meeting where they were having a revival, and there was a blind lady playing the piano. And he started crawling, and when he started crawling, the blind lady got healed that was blind and never had seen her whole life. And she started saying, oh, your dress is so pretty. Oh, the trees are so pretty. And she had been blind her whole life. And she was instantly healed. And he said that there was a man came over to him. He said, Brother Hale, he said, I think it's because you crawled why she got healed. He said, because when you started crawling, he said, that's when she got her eyes opened up. But because of his obedience, it brought a move of God. And so when you obey God, you can bring a move of God into somebody else's life, into this church. When you come to church, you need to say, God, what can I do in this church tonight to bring a move of God, to take us beyond where we've been before, to experience a move of God greater than anything we've ever known before? What can we do? Obey God. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads.